Welcome to Extraordinary Women Radio. I am your host, Cami Gellner. Women are being called to lead with voice, vitality, and vigor. Each week, join me for wisdom-filled interviews with extraordinary women living out loud and making a difference in our world. Their stories will uplift, inspire, and spark your own purpose-driven journey. Hello, my extraordinary women friends. I love when I get to meet extraordinary women who tell great stories around growing their business and bring great wisdom for all of us growing our businesses. Today's guest, Leslie Kuster, was delightful and full of both great stories and deep wisdom. Leslie is a multiple seven-figure e-commerce brand owner whose business, Back From Bali, who offers bohemian clothing ethically made in Bali. The success of Back From Bali affords Leslie the life of her dreams, and she is passionate about igniting and inspiring other women entrepreneurs to rise while they create the financial and personal freedom they crave. Leslie empowers women to live their true freedom by teaching them how to create a business that aligns with their deep core values, enabling women to work in a way that brings ease and flow into their daily life so that they can live truly fulfilled. Yep, she speaks my love language. You can expect Leslie's new book, Seven Keys to Seven Figures, The Quintessential Truth to Getting Money and Freedom for Women Entrepreneurs, to come out this fall. I am going to be on the list to get the book when it comes out. With over 30 years of experience as an entrepreneur, Leslie's passion inspires women to pursue entrepreneurship in order for them to step into their independence, know their value, develop their feminine power, and earn the kind of money that creates freedom. Let's meet Leslie Kuster. Well, welcome to Extraordinary Women Radio, Leslie. It's great to have you here today.
Oh, I'm really happy to be with you today.
Oh, that's, I'm so glad you're here. I'm looking in through your, you've got a window behind you and you've got green plants. We don't have green plants. We have lots of snow out our windows right now.
Okay.
Where are you at?
Well, I'm in Delray Beach, Florida.
Okay.
So the reason why I'm here is actually because my husband and I are completely nomadic right now.
Oh, that's so awesome.
We've been living in Switzerland. He's Swiss for the last 20 years. Mm-hmm. And we've just decided to come back to the US and we rented out our properties in Switzerland. And we just have suitcases now and we're just Airbnb-ing. And I have family here in Delray. So we're in Delray for a couple months.
And then we're going to go from there.
We're going to Colorado next.
Oh, we'll be that's where I'm at. Where are you going to be in Colorado?
We'll be mostly in Carbondale, Basalt, Aspen area. Mm-hmm. Because I actually had a promise to my father passed a couple years ago. And the promise to him was his ashes there. And because of the pandemic, I haven't been able to go. So we are going with my brothers in March. So that's the next step.
That will be a beautiful place to put his ashes. My father's ashes are in the San Juan Mountains of Colorado. So we did a same sort of a thing as like, you know, having family come together in that sort of a way is it can be really beautiful.
Yeah. It's I can't say I'm like looking forward to
it's
this.
Hard.
It's hard.
It's but hard. It definitely has its hard moments. So, yeah,
it does. Yeah. But that's where I'm headed in next month.
Oh, well, very good. Very good. But when do you arrive into Colorado?
It's going to be about the 5th of March.
Okay. Well, we'll have to chat. Well, I'm not in that area. I'm in the Denver area. So,
okay.
But we'll have to chat just because we've got some things kind of going that week of International Women's Day. So if you're around Denver at all, maybe we can play a little bit.
Oh, wouldn't that be fun? I would love
that. That would be fun.
You mean like human contact?
Yeah, totally. Right. I mean, are you craving human contact as much as I am these days?
I mean, yeah, it would be nice.
Yeah.
It would definitely be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've done some live events here this past year, which has just been so nice to, and, you know, find safe ways to do it. And that's been, you know, you can't always be 100% sure, but I've, you know, knock on wood, I've done pretty good with that. So. It feels good to be back live again versus all virtual. That was hard, I think, being virtual all the time.
Yeah, it is. It's hard for a lot of people. For me, it wasn't so hard because that was my life anyway, because I have an online business, right. And my business is e-commerce. So my life was very much basically virtual anyway.
Right.
But that's also one of the reasons why I started to like make a change in my life like a year ago, because I was like starting to really be hungry for like human connection in a new way, which is what really motivated me to write a book and start into a new direction of helping women and consulting business women.
Excellent. 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 So I want to hear some of your story. You have had a clothing company called Back from Bali. And you really brought this to a multi seven figure business at this point, but it wasn't always a straight line to get there. Tell us a little bit about your journey.
Yeah, I would love to. I mean, it's something I really like to talk about is that a lot of times, especially these days, because we have so much awareness of Facebook and Instagram and LinkedIn and everything, that a lot of women entrepreneurs get the feeling like there's so many women who are successful and they're not successful. Right. And, you know, there's that feeling like, can they be? Will they be? These women are smarter than them. And I really want to share that success is a very long journey. And it has been a really long journey for me. In fact, there's some comic I read a little while ago. He said something like, it took him 20 years to be an overnight success.
Love it. And I love it.
That was my story. So I actually started as an entrepreneur now 30 years ago, mm-hmm. where I made a decision that I didn't want to get a job anymore. I was working in New York City in public relations, and I had gone traveling in Indonesia. And when I returned back from Indonesia, I needed to find a job. And I just did not want to go back into that life any longer. And I had a light bulb moment of remembering this beautiful, colorful clothing that I had seen while I was traveling in Bali, Indonesia. And I just thought, I wonder what would happen if I go back to Bali and I bought clothing like off the street and just, you know, from the different vendors I met, and I brought it back to New York City. Like, what would happen? Can I sell it? And my desire to not work in an office building ever again was so strong that I did it. And that's how I started my business.
Oh my gosh. I love that. I can see the colors. I can just feel the energy of, and the curiosity of, I wonder if, right? And to follow that and to go with it.
I love that you brought that up, because, I talk about that in my book too, the question of, I wonder, mm-hmm. whenever you start to have that feeling, or anybody listening, hearing this and think that you've been saying to yourself that week, I wonder if that's like a sign to do something. That is the next step into the next action of changing your life or making something, your dreams come true. So that was what changed my life. I wondered if I could sell it. I literally took action. So the inner of the mm-hmm. I wonder, and then the outer of the action, where I literally got on an airplane and went back, and I brought the clothing back. And that is how I launched my business. I did wholesale and I did street fairs and all of that. And I had this business for a long time without it being that financially successful. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was okay. Mm-hmm. Up in for the first 20 years, I think I may have brought it to a little, like maybe 60,000 a year or something like that. It was always under the six-figure mark. But what happened to me about 9 years ago is I started to feel very disappointed in where I was financially, and even just in general, because I knew I had a lot of smarts inside of me. I knew I had a lot of abilities inside of me, and I didn't feel like I was really living up to it. Mm-hmm. And I literally had a moment in my office where I just said, there is just no way I am waking up on my next birthday not doing over 100,000 a year. And I was around about 51 or 52 at the time. And I made that decision just in that moment. And that is what I've done. And I brought that business the next year through actions and steps and many other coaches and decisions that I made. I brought the business, then it doubled it. And I did, you know, over 100. And then it just went 100 to 2 to 4 to 7 to 1 million. And now I'm in the multiple millions. So it came from a decision, a very conscious decision.
In a very specific moment, you said, I'm gone for this. I'm done at this level. I'm going to new levels.
I'm doing it. And that's it. And to also face, you know, my fears and to face my mindset of how it had been.
Yeah. And I've heard that, especially, I mean, you know, I know even when my business took those first levels, I had to break through new fears. But I think what I've been told is, you know, as you're hitting that $1 million mark, that there is a, there's just a whole new level of fear that you have to break through.
Yeah. Yeah. There's always something. You know what that fear, is? Hmm. Oh my God. Suppose I lose it now. Like at first, like, oh, I want it. Suppose I don't ever have it. Then you have it. And then you're like, well, suppose I don't have it anymore. Right. You know? So a lot of it is that fear too.
So what, tell us some of, you just wrote your book, Keys to Seven Figures, the quintessential, I can't even say that word, quintessential truth to getting money and freedom for women entrepreneurs. So congratulations on that. What are some of the tips that you bring in that book that really is helping people get to that seven figure mark?
When I was sitting in that apartment and I made that decision, that's it, I want to be successful, I want to make more money. What was happening in my life at that time is I had two businesses. Mm-hmm. I had the business I have right now, and I had another business where I was coaching young girls, like 7 to 13 years old. And I ran a program called Girl Power. And I realized that the reason why I had not yet been as successful as I wanted to be is because I was not focused. So one of the keys in my book, in terms of how to be successful, how to build a very successful multimillion dollar business, is you have to focus. And in that moment, I decided to let go of one of the businesses. Right. Was it going to be the Bali business, or was it going to be the Girl Power?
And that's such a hard decision. I can think of times where, you know, in my business, I've had, you know, a broader focus, or, you know, getting pulled in different directions. And I know every single time I have turned my focus towards one area, my business grows. So that's a really important tip for our listeners to think about, because people want to do both, right?
Yeah. And women have this false belief that they can multitask. And truthfully, we can't. The human brain is incapable completely of multitasking. So what happens when you focus on one thing, then that goes up and sales go up and everything goes up when you focus on it. But whatever else you're not focusing on starts to go down and dip down. And that was basically my life for, you know, those second of the 30 years I talked about. 10 years was maybe just Bali business. Then I went into multitasking different businesses. And then I said, forget it. That's it. Over. One business, one focus. I'm really going for it. Yeah. And then after that, the next step was really getting the help I needed, because you don't know what you don't know. I mean, you have no idea what you don't know. And it was like the next step was hiring my consultant, which to this day, and this is 9 years later, I still work with her.
Mm. And what was so she was a consultant doing what? What kind of work, what kind of help did you get?
So one of the, again, keys to success, focusing, wanting it, knowing what it is that you really want and change. Really, the next one is very much is learning and, you know, becoming an unquenchable desire for knowledge and to know what you're supposed to be doing. So I jumped on an airplane and another airplane, actually realized you have to jump on lots of airplanes. And I flew over to Seattle, which is where Amazon headquarters is. And they were putting on a conference, which I had never been to before. And at the conference was a speaker who just blew my mind away with her knowledge. And I started to realize, like, wow, there's actually a system here. It's not random. It's not like guessing. It's none of those things. There's actually a system to how to build a business, a system to how to launch a product on Amazon, a system how to grow your sales from, you know, under 100,000 to over and past the seven-figure mark. And I was so impressed with her, and my mind was exploding from all she was and the ideas. And I ran after her, as many other people did, after her speech, and grabbed her card, which said consultant on it. And as many people do, I went home and forgot about it, right? Mm-hmm. Just forgot about it. Mm-hmm. Stayed in my same world of not really progressing, but it was okay. I was doing all right.
Yeah.
And then my husband one day said, remember that lady you met at that conference? Maybe you should give her a call. Good hubby tip. And that was it. I did. And that's how it started. And that's what then got me in the next level. So getting that help that you need for someone who knows, and she was an e-commerce expert, an Amazon expert, eBay expert. That is what also then started to bring my business to new levels.
Yeah. So you had to invest in yourself and trust that you were being called to make the right investment in you. And there's always that stretch, right? I mean, every time we see that opportunity to invest in our businesses, there's that dance of, is it the right thing? Is it the wrong thing? And when you get that, was there something there? I mean, I think there probably was. You ran after her at the conference that said, she's somebody I need to know and know more. You know, what was inside your gut there?
I my mind was blown because I just never thought of the things that she was teaching when mm-hmm. she was on that stage. And it just goes back to that you don't know what you don't know. So I heard somebody who seemed to really know this world. And that's what got me all excited. And I went with her, and I'm so happy I did to this day.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. I want to dig into some things. So why is it so taboo to say you want to have money for women? I mean, I know you write about this in your book, but talk about this a little bit, because I think that money mindset is an important thing for women entrepreneurs to really break through, to start to just really recognize what is there, what exists, and how do we clean up that money mindset that is there. What's the taboo part of this for you that you've seen?
I'll give you a story.
Yeah, right? Please.
When I hit around about the seven-figure mark, mm-hmm. I decided I was going to post it on Facebook. Okay. Mm-hmm. And previously to that, I would never, ever do anything like that, because mm-hmm. I felt kind of actually ashamed, or was I bragging, or, you know, what?
There's all the stories, right?
All the stories. But I decided I was going to do it, and I was going to do it in order to be an example to other women too. I wanted to stop hiding my success or being embarrassed of it even. And so I did. And my husband went out to dinner shortly after that with one of his best friends. And during dinner, his friend said to him, I really don't know if I should bring this up, but I read Leslie's post and I have to tell you, I was shocked. I didn't think she was that kind of person.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. So my husband came back and he told me that, and I'm so glad he did, because I get to tell this story. And right. To answer your question, what is the taboo? This is it. It's the shaming that women can be given by other people when they actually claim their power and love and want of money, mm-hmm. because it's not very feminine. Right. Women are supposed to help. They're supposed to give. In fact, they're not even supposed to want to make money. They would, quote, do their business even if they made no money. Well, why in the world would you do that, right? And these kind of language, these words that come out of women's mouths over and over and over, I'm not a money person, I don't understand money, I'm not into finance, money's not important to me, I just want the money to so I could send my children to school, otherwise I don't need that much. This is acceptable.
Yeah, it's so interesting. It's so entrenched. We spent a full day last week in my Platinum Mastermind. We had a 2-day retreat. And we spent one full day on the things that come out of our mouth around money and the money mindset piece, you know, all of that. Because it's such an important part of even recognizing these words that we say, so just without even knowing we say them. And you recognized in that moment when your husband came home and said that, what did you do with that? I mean, go a little bit further into that story, because I think it's such a, we do need to own what we're proud of and our desires and our, that, you know, our successes with that. So what did you do with that?
I went, oh my God, this is going to be so great for my book. That's what I said. Because I had already moved beyond that. Now, yeah. You know, a year before, what happened was that I was in a private Facebook group with other sellers, like myself, brand owners, and we were asked to post our sales. And I don't know if it was a year before, maybe it could have even been 2 or 3 years earlier. And I posted my sales, which at that time was 400,000. And I immediately realized, oh my God, I posted it on my personal Facebook page, not in this private Facebook group. And I immediately took it down, but not fast enough, because it's really fast, these things. And a friend already texted me or on Messenger, oh my, congratulations. And I said to him, promise me you won't tell anybody. Promise me. All right. So fast forward a few years to my declaration. So when he came home to say that, I just felt this is an amazing example of why women are having such a hard time around money. And one of my missions is to honestly get money to stand up and say, I love money. Mm-hmm. But in order to do that, in order to really embrace money and your money story, and your ability to earn money, we have to, as women, take ourselves out of the princess tower and the thoughts that we have of, is it our responsibility to make money or not? And that was actually my turning point. Like I spoke about before earlier with you about how there was that moment where I said, there's no way I'm waking up on my next birthday not earning over 100,000. Well, what I didn't speak about was how I came to realize that I had been in a mindset that my husband should be the one making the big bucks. My husband is the one who should be creating the our dream house. You know, sure, I'm making money. Sure, I'm contributing. Sure, I'm this. But that's not really my main job, because I have a different mindset and perception of what I should be doing from my family, from how I was raised, from being a woman, all of that. And a lot of women are in what I call the princess tower.
They're waiting to be taken care of and not have to really contribute to their full potential.
And seeing that as a value. Oh, my husband's very rich. We can do here. Seeing that as a value instead of seeing it actually as a hindrance. Now, listen, I think it's great. We all should contribute, but we all should contribute. Right. And when a woman is basically taking the responsibility of her life, okay, her shoes that she's going to buy, her vacation she's going on, this, where she's going, what she's doing, who she's contributing to, what charity she's giving to, when you remove the responsibility off your own shoulders to someone else, anyone else, that's not standing on our own feet. Mm-hmm. And we need to stand on our own feet. Why? Because this life is a gift. This is a gift mm-hmm. to live in this world, to be in our lives. And we've all been given individual gifts to bring forth into the world. Mm-hmm. How do we bring it forth in the world? Well, it's not sitting at your house in your princess tower. You need to stand up and walk out. And that involves accepting your responsibility to create wealth and money in the world so you could spread it and do wonderful things.
Oh my gosh, I love it so much. And I so believe that we were each given our own unique set of gifts and talents and, you know, owning our genius so that we can go make the difference that however we're meant to make a difference. And when we do that, and I think there's something about changing the stories that we have going on in our head around, you know, just like you said, the princess tower and the stories around money. How did you go about really shifting up your stories? What were the things that helped you shift your stories?
Well, you have to know what they are. And that's always the first step, isn't it? Yeah. You need to know what your money story is. And when I consult women, they're like, what's a money story? I don't have a money story. Well,
we all do.
All do. Yeah. We all do. Right. And yeah. That's really the first step is what is your money story? So mine is definitely that it's okay for a woman to work. They should. My mother had her own business. But the value is really having a man who is really earning the money. So that was my money story, you know.
One of my money stories has been, and that I've recognized, is that I have to work really, really hard to be successful versus finding the smart and the, and so that's been one of my ones that I've had to really shift up. And it's like, I don't need to work a 60 hour week to be successful. I can do things in a different way. I can work more smart, but that is certainly a money story that I've identified for my own self.
Oh, that's a good one. And that's a very common one. And I have a suggestion, you know, which
is please.
Having money mantras. Mm-hmm. So my money mantra is a lot of money comes easily and frequently. Money mantra.
I like that too. I love money mantras. The one that I have used is, I am open to receiving abundance in my business and my life. Or I'm open to receiving creative possibilities for abundance in my business and life, because it's that way. It's the creative possibilities piece was a kind of, it felt really expansive to me
that you like, you know, that.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it's funny. You find your one. I'm a huge Tosha Silver fan. And I think that, you know, that anytime that we're working and we're digging into understanding what our money mindset is, I think there's just so much to learn and grow. And with that comes, I mean, we grow in our businesses, and that's the power behind it.
You know, the truth is it's all mindset. I mean, right. You want to know how to build a multiple seven-figure business? Mindset.
Yeah. I've heard that from so many people. I really have. And it's like we have to do our own inner work, right? And know what's there to clear out the noise that's there. So I love it. I love it. So what are some of the ways, I mean, because, and I just kind of touched on this. What are some of the ways that we can have our business serve us instead of our business being a slave to our business, right? That dance there.
That's so important. And actually you touched on that just then with what your money, you know, your money mindset issue was, that you have to work really, really hard. So I made a decision that I was not going to have to work really, really hard all the time. Okay. Right. And I just want to clarify.
You have to put the time in there, because there's going to be days.
Exactly. There's days, there's months, there's maybe even years where you're working really, really hard, but not all the time. Right. And I think that's where women have an opportunity to run their businesses differently than men. Okay. Where we can really use our feminine power and our feminine intuition, and because without getting that connection to the divine, to our higher self, to our sense of knowingness inside of our own hearts, then we're just basically following our to-do list, which is not necessarily even serving what you want to be doing. I don't know if that makes sense, but
totally makes sense.
In order to know what we want to do anyway, we really need to know deeply. We need to stop, right? We need to stop to know what we want to be doing. Otherwise, you're just, you're on the monkey wheel, you know, emptying the dishwasher and running your business and everything else. So it's, again, it's a conscious decision. It's that you actually are in charge of your business and your business works for you. You don't work for it. And you create the boundaries and the decisions. So I work, for example, from 12 to 4. That's when I work. Yeah. I don't work before 12. I don't work at night. So you make these sort of decisions and you make it happen. And, and why does it happen? Because we are creating our lives. We are creating our businesses. There's no one else out there creating this. We are. And again, it's taking that responsibility for where you're at.
Aren't we blessed to live in this time where there is a more feminine way of running businesses? There's so many wonderful teachers around that can help us see things in different ways. And we can make choices in our life this is the boundaries I'm setting for myself. And those kinds of choices, and we can work with the mindset, and we can run successful businesses. And I can tell you, I have talked to so many people on Extraordinary Women Radio that have made those kind of conscious choices, that have done that, you know, really done the inner work that it takes, you know, that soulful spiritual side of us. When we can bring all of that to the table, this didn't exist, you know, 30 years ago, right? I mean, this was not how people ran businesses 30 years ago. And I think we are in such a shift and change. And I love to see leaders like you who are really leading that way and sharing your wisdom and knowledge of how you've done that so that people can be inspired.
Yeah, it's so important. And, you know, you do it over and over. You keep kind of course correcting. Right. You know, there's been, I mean, in my personal journey has been that for the last 30 years, I go to a spiritual retreat every summer. That's what I do. I go in July and August. And during that time, I work not that much, maybe 2 to 5 hours a week. Okay. That's how much I've been, how much time I am able to donate to work during that time. And those were the years that my business exploded. And this is what I really want people to know. And it doesn't mean that when I came back, I didn't have anything to do and I didn't have to work a lot. I did, but not all the time. And that's
you got the wisdom.
I got
the wisdom came in when we make a space for that.
Yes. And we need to keep going back to that. I went to Allie Brown is one of my mentors. Yes. And I went to one of her conferences. I think it must have been 3 years ago. And I remember meeting other multi-million dollar seller revenue businesses there, women who run businesses who were really working a minimum amount of time. Okay.
So cool.
2 hours, 5 hours a week. Okay. And I was like, wow, this is amazing. Cause my business at that time was starting to take too much of me again. I was getting looped in. And that's the thing. We get looped back into all the doing and everything. And when I went back home, I really worked on my operations list, which is something I really encourage in the women I work with. We create operations lists, all the tasks that need to be done to build your business, who is doing it, and how you can get someone else, how you can get your name off that list, basically.
That's fantastic.
And I really worked my operations list and again, made a decision. I ended up actually hiring my consultant, the one I told you I've been working with for 9 years. She now is part of my team. She works for me. So I started making changes in my business again to bring me back to that place of my decision that I wanted to not work all the time.
Yeah, I love that. And it does take the list. It does take really acknowledging where you're spending your time and making choices. can this come off, or does this go to somebody else? I mean, it's like making those kind of choices to streamline that. But it's, I think that that's just so inspiring, because I know that was one of the things I walked out of last year with, you know, having, it was an amazing year in my business. And I think, you know, that next level is just like, okay, where do things come off of my plate onto other people's plates? And so I've been building my team, and it's I love the people that are coming together in my team, and it's fun and exciting, but it's, you know, it's early stages in that journey.
I get it. I'm with you too. I'm also doing that this year. That's my year, is a year of more team building.
Nice. Love it. I love it. So, and you've also just retired your husband. So how'd that feel?
That felt pretty damn good.
I bet.
He's so excited. So as I said earlier, he's Swiss, and you know, he had like a job, an engineer. Mm-hmm. And we've been, you know, wanting to come back to the US. And so it actually meant him quitting his job. And because of my business and the success I have in my business, it's a no-brainer.
That's awesome.
And he quit his job, and I retired my husband, and he's now, you know, we're only like 3 months into it, I would say, right now. So I'm not sure what he's going to be doing more of in his life, but he's thrilled, and I'm thrilled. I'm able to, you know, this is our life right now. We actually were in Greece in October when he quit, and you know, now then we were in the New York. Now we're in Delray in Florida, then Colorado, then yeah, we're going to go back to Europe for a little while, and all of this is possible because I could retire him, because earlier, even though with my business I can work from anywhere, he actually had a physical job, which meant I was not able to live anywhere I wanted to live. So now we can. It's wonderful.
Excellent. That is so good. So where can people learn more about you and your work, Leslie?
Yeah.
In your book.
And my book, absolutely. Yeah. Well, so lesliekuster.com. And there's a free ebook that's called 7 Mistakes Most Women Entrepreneurs Make. So be sure you get that ebook. And my book is actually coming out in the fall. So it's not out yet, but in my website, lesliekuster.com, there's a book link, and there's a VIP list for anybody who wants some early access to the book.
Oh, that's awesome. I'll jump out there and grab that, because I like that. So the final question I always close with are, what 3 pearls of wisdom would you like to leave with us today?
Oh, okay. Take care of yourself. It's all you got. Sleep is so important. Healthy eating. Learn, study nutrition. Exercise. Yes. Take time for yourself. Yes. Meditate. That's kind of just my
it's
want.
It's so important. Yeah. I mean, it's just so important. I mean, it's because if we don't take care of the vessel of us, we can't show up fully for our clients.
And absolutely. So that's the first one that comes to my head. The second one is maybe related to that, is, you know, do the inner work. Mm-hmm. The outer work, the success of the business, the money that comes, all happens because of the inner work that is set forth, and that mindset work that we were talking about earlier, and getting clear on what it is you want. It was my wanting and my clarity that brought me to where I am now. Mm-hmm. Without it, I never would be where I am. So yeah, that would be really the second one, is to really work on the mindset. And the third one is super practical, which is to buy the book Profit First from Mike McCallowitz.
Oh, so funny. We actually had a Profit First speaker last week at my Platinum Conference. And you're a fan of Profit First.
I've been using Profit First, which is basically a system of when you get your money in, you allocate it into different accounts or buckets or whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. It's the greatest system. And it basically means you always have money for your business. And so that's what's incredibly important. And I'll just add on to that, just like know your numbers, yeah, you know, definitely. Become a numbers gal, start to love money, love your numbers, love your income statement, get involved in it. It will.
And use the word love around your money. Totally.
Oh, yes. I love money.
Totally.
Start saying
Own it. Own it.
Pretending you don't. I mean, really. So, that's my words of wisdom there.
Oh, Leslie, this has been so much fun. What a joy it's been to meet you. And thank you for sharing all your great wisdom with us. And I'm so glad to know you.
And you too.
Have a good day.
I hope you liked this episode of Extraordinary Women Radio. If you did, please share this podcast with your own special tribe of women and help spread the love, the dreams, and the inspiration. Are you ready to raise up your voice, your visibility, and your business? I invite you to join the conversation in my Facebook group, Extraordinary Women Connect. This group brings together changemaker women entrepreneurs who want to elevate their business or impact. It is a place for powerful connections and collaborations. It is a place to be inspired, uplifted, and fired up for action. To learn more about my work that helps women entrepreneurs make heartfelt connections to mindful growth strategies, visit my website at cammygelner.com. Till next time, my friend, listen to your heart, follow your dreams, and be you.